Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 16, and reading from verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, the son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. For 55 years, I've had the privilege of opening the Word of God and sharing it with different congregations, Cornwall, Devon, and beyond. It's been a great privilege to open up God's Word and to share His truth. The greater joy, of course, is knowing when hearts and lives are actually touched and inspired by the Word of God. I believe the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is active. The Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I love that thought. The Word of God judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. When I'm often talking to my golfing friends, and when we get into the 19th tee, which is in the clubhouse, and having a chat, the question about God always comes up, you know, because they know who I am, and they have a little bit of a secret code. If a new person comes to join the golf club, they'll say something like, "If you're playing with Matt, you need to know he's a bit religious." Bit religious. And a secret code goes on. I remember once playing with a fella, and he never received the secret code. And we were playing a match. And the first nine, it was 18 holes, first nine holes, he was hitting bad shots. And his language was absolutely unbelievable. He was swearing and cursing. And we got on the 10th tee, and he said to me, "Anyway," he said, "I don't know you, do I?" I said, "No, you don't." He said, "Well, what's your job? What do you do?" I said, "I'm glad you asked that." I said, "I'm a preacher, a minister, and I travel around and preach the Word of God." He went, "What?" I said, yeah, I am. I don't know why, but after that, he couldn't hit the ball. And he was all over the place. And I won the match. Now, it was quite strange, but when I'm playing matches now, I often say to people, "Do you know what I do for a living?" But the Word of God is active. And that's superb, isn't it? It's more than printer's ink. It's something which can actually speak into our lives. And again, it says here that it shows us the thoughts. So when I actually share the gospel, what I'm receiving back are the thoughts and the intention of people's hearts. That's interesting, isn't it? The thoughts and the intentions. My good friend called Mick, say, "Don't believe a word, Matt. Don't believe a word, any of that." I said, "Okay." The thought of his heart and the intention was revealed by the speaking of the Word of God. It's always active. Reacts one way or another. But the Holy Spirit moves upon the Word of God. Always has done and always will do. There's an old hymn we used to sing, "The Spirit breathes upon the Word." and brings his truth to light. So I get so excited, you know, about sharing the word of God and seeing what God is doing. But it all depends on the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. So I sit down thinking, I'm not taking any notice of what's being said today. Then that's the thought and the intention. So God can speak to us. But we open our hearts and say, Lord, speak to me today, God. Show me what you want to say. I think that's so exciting. The Holy Spirit always moves upon, and that's always been God's pattern in creation. In the very beginning in Genesis, it said that the earth was void of life. It was empty and confused. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, like a large bird with outstretched wings. And when the word spoke, then the Spirit of God began to work, began to create, based on the spoken. Day one, the emergence of light. Day two, formation of sky and earth. Day three, birth of vegetation. Day four, creation of celestial bodies. Day five, the creation of marine aviation life. Day six, creation of livestock and humanity. All because the word said, let there be. And the Spirit of God moved and created. I cannot overstate the infinite ability of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring into being whatever he wants to bring into being. And the only thing he's looking for is someone to go, yes, God, let your word speak in here and bring into being what your purpose and your plans are. For with God, nothing is impossible. The word of God will always stay as printer's ink unless the Holy Spirit quickens it to us. Always stay as a book unless it is quickened to us. By revelation, spirit to spirit, God speaks. Something moves within us and faith begins to yield the results of what God wants to do in our lives. Praise God. We see this very clearly in the conversation Jesus had with his disciples. Jesus asked the question. Good question. Good question for all of us. In Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And they answered it by saying, some say prophet Elijah come back, Jeremiah, some other prophet. They recognized and realized that Jesus was different, but didn't really have a clue who he was. Well, we think you may be one of the prophets who returned. Then he asked this question, who do you say that I am? And in a moment, Peter seemed to have been overtaken by the Spirit of God. And all the Old Testament prophets which spoke about the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the Savior of the world, in a moment it was as though Peter saw it and went, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You know, I really believe that Peter wasn't going just like, oh, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. No, I really believe it was a wow moment when suddenly it was like, wow, everything we've heard for years and generations gone back and the promise of Messiah, wow, you're standing right before me. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. You are the coming one. You're the promised one. Wow. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. This was a revelation that came into your heart. At our golf club, we have a sign in a window. It's about this big, not very big, and it says this, Beware adders on the course. It's in the window, it's fine, it's been there for a long time. We don't take any notice of it. It's just adders on the course. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was playing around a golf and I walked up a narrow path. It's a lovely, hot, sunny day. I'm walking up this path and in front of me was an adder. I looked at him and he looked at me. I'm moving. And suddenly he just went. And I thought, you know, God, that's the difference between education and revelation. Education, adders on the course. When you see one, it's a revelation. Because a revelation will actually move you into something different than where you are. And God speaks to our hearts always by revelation. Not by education, not just by words, but by to reveal the word of God, to reveal his truth, praise God. We can be educated that Jesus is Savior. We can be educated that Jesus is Lord. We can pick up the Bible and read all about it and never have a personal revelation of Jesus. I was a 12-year-old kid. And we had a mission in our village, and my parents said, it'd be good for you to come. I'm sitting, it's like on that side, right halfway back, with my mum and my sister. And for the very first time, I heard about Jesus. And I heard about the fact that he died for me, that he wanted to know me personally, he wanted to have a relationship with me. And in a moment, I had an incredible revelation. Jesus, you're the Messiah. I'm a 12-year-old kid. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You want to come into my heart. You want to take over my life. You want to be in my life. And when the invitation came to come to Jesus, I just moved. I was the first one out of my seat as a 12-year-old kid, and I came forward and I knelt at the front. But Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus. I had an incredible moment at the age of 12. And I knew that I was born again, because there was a revelation that Jesus is Lord and Jesus was my Savior. And revelation moves us by faith to Jesus Christ. I said in the very beginning that in the creation of the world, the Holy Spirit was hovering. And when the word of God spoke, suddenly the Holy Spirit moved, and praise God, I've experienced over these many years the Holy Spirit hovering over a dark and formless soul, empty of life. A dark and empty soul, trying to find in life what is good, a soul that is unsatisfied with life. And I've seen the Spirit of God hovering over that. And I've seen the same soul having a revelation that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is light, that Jesus is love, that Jesus is God, that Jesus wanted to come and to abide with them and in them and through them. And I've seen souls respond to that invitation of Christ. And suddenly their lives have become incredibly changed by his presence. I've also seen people responding with tears coming down their eyes, and I've seen people sat next fold their arms like this. For the word of God reveals the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Sometimes some hearts will go, I'm never moving. Oh, if we could only melt in the very presence of God and let God move in us and move through us. Jesus said this, you are Peter. I won't go into all the Hebrew and the Greek, etc., etc., but basically he was saying, Peter, you are a little stone. And on this rock, I will build my church. And that rock, we know, is Christ. But also that rock is the revelation of all that I've been speaking about. The revelation that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. And he's saying, Peter, those who have had a revelation and have opened up their hearts and lives to me, that I may become their Lord and Savior, in them I will build my church. Build my church. The church is not a group of people in a building. It's a group of people being built together in Christ. Group of people who know that they know that they know that they've come into a place and saying, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I'm sure you've all been there. I pray you are all there. Because that's where life truly begins. John 10:10 said this, the thief only comes to steal, kill and destroy. That's the enemy. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come. I've come that you may have life. Have life in all of its fullness. I've come that you may be. I love Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, member of the high council of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. He said, hey Jesus, we know that you must be sent from God because no one can do what you can. And suddenly Jesus cut him short and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Let's not go down this flowery road of religiousology. Nicodemus, let's get to the basic. You must be born again. You must start all over again. How can a man start over again? How can a man enter the mother's womb? And he said, no. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. When suddenly that moment comes, and the Spirit of God, according by the Word of God, breathe on a new life who's ready to respond to Jesus. When I look at the cross of Calvary, as we've been looking at communion, and I look and say, Lord, it's amazing that all my sin, all my grief, everything I've all done wrong. I was saying to Gareth last night, we were talking, and I said, I was in a church once, and I just simply said, hey guys, we've got a big surprise for somebody here today, because on the screen, in a moment, we've got your life, but nothing left out. The day you were born to right now, and nothing's left out. Is anybody quite happy for that to be shown? Everybody, no. I said, none of us would be. Because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So when Jesus comes, it's a blank screen, and we're wonderfully washed and cleansed by him. The church is a visible representation on earth of the kingdom of God. It's powerful and dynamic in its expression, praise God. The danger for any group to be stuck in the maintenance mode than a missions mode. Because the word of God, the Bible, is full of truth, but it can remain as information unless it's received as the revealed word of God and fulfilled in Jesus. A revelation that God can do abundantly more than we could ever imagine or think possible. A revelation that Jesus can move in ways beyond any. That's why we always need to remove in the place of saying, let Holy Spirit just move, we pray. Let there be a revelation in my heart of what is possible You may have noticed that, I don't know, you may not have, but it was Helen put out that Matthew Parsons at Weybridge, in fact, 3 years ago, we moved from Weybridge back to the church or chapel that we pioneered back in 1978, which is a long, long time ago. And after COVID, the work had gone down to just a few people. And we felt the call of God to go back again to repurpose the whole thing. And if that was by the natural man, you would look at it and go, Lord, this is impossible. But what is impossible to man is possible to God. So we had a revelation to go back again. We went back 3 years ago. And now the place is growing and growing and growing, and it's just growing almost every week. Because God is moving in a very powerful. We're seeing souls saved, lives coming to Christ. People meeting Jesus in a powerful way. And my heart often wants to say to people, God can bring each one of us new revelation. Revelation of gifts, revelation of ministry, revelation of where and how he wants to use us to his glory. Revelation of the power and the authority of Christ in us and through us. Revelation that God can do more in each one of us than we could ever imagine or think possible. Revelation that we're the head and not the tail. The revelation that we have a home in glory. The revelation that heaven is our real abiding place. The revelation that Jesus is Lord over all things. But the question begins for every single one of us. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And can we say this morning, you're the Messiah. You're my Lord. You're my King. You're my Savior. Because I've had that revelation in my heart. I read about it. But wow. Wow. I now know. That I know that I know. And I pray today that if we've made that wonderful commitment to Jesus, that we will go, wow. But then we don't sit back. We don't sit back. Because there's so much more that Jesus wants to show us. So much more that he wants to speak to us about. That as we leave here and we have our own particular time with God, it's good to be able to say, Lord Jesus, it's been a long time since I've had a fresh revelation. Lord, you give me something fresh, a fresh revelation. Who I am, where I am, how you want to use me. How we together can move forward in Christ. In a moment we're going to sing a song which often we sing at the beginning of the service. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and tell him I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. And that's exactly what it is, isn't it? To open my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Lord, I want to reach out and touch you. The price is paid. Come, let us enter in. And as you look at the cross of Calvary, Jesus was your guilt offering, your sin offering. He took all of our sins upon himself. There we are, Matthew, with a weight of sin. As Jesus with his righteousness. He took all of my sin and made me all righteous in Christ. That's the mystery. We are now made righteous through the blood of the Lamb of God. So we haven't got to work at it. We never achieve it ourselves. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to reach out and touch him. And tell him I love him. I pray that's my prayer this morning. I pray that's your prayer this morning as well. It's a greater revelation of Jesus. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing that lovely song. Open my eyes, Lord. And let's make that a prayer, shall we? Praise God. To see Jesus, to reach out and touch.